Now on this week's Essex Tale with Carl, I think we're going to be talking about a very interesting man. Is he called Cunning Murrell?
Cunning Murrell, he was called, yes, the White Wizard of Essex, born James Murrell.
And I think he came from the Hadley area, didn't he?
Yep, Hadley, Leonsey.
Oh, yeah, my sort of territory. Right, okay. Indeed. Carl, let's hear the story. Thank you.
It was the last Saturday before Christmas. And in the church, all the young people of the parish were helping to decorate the church for Christmas. And Rosie, oh, she had the best job, for she was setting out the little wooden figures of the nativity scene and placing candles to illuminate it just so. So she felt she had the very best job indeed. And she didn't notice, so wrapped up was she in her work, that all the others had gone by the time she'd finished. And so she looked round for approval, when there was none. But smiling to herself, she put on her coat and started to walk up the aisle towards the door. The door of the church, which was ajar. And she saw, in the porch of the church, her love, Frank, kissing another girl, Elizabeth. And when she saw Frank kiss Elizabeth, Rosie's heart burst within her breast, and she sat in the pews and she wept silently to herself, all the time listening to Frank and Elizabeth in the porch. And she waited until she heard their footsteps crunch on the crisp snow that had fallen outside. And only when she was certain they were far away did she leave the church, run down the hill to her parents' house, in through the door, up to her bedroom, without saying a word to her parents. She put on her nightdress, flung herself into bed, and wept into her pillow until it was sodden with her tears. There would be no sleep for her that night. And so, after an hour or so, she got out of bed and sat by the window and looked out through the lightly falling snow towards the ruins of Hadley Castle. And she saw coming round the side of Hadley Castle a little figure, a little thin man, with an umbrella. And hanging from the umbrella was a little wicker basket. A little man who, on his head, had a hard glazed tiled cap, the sort sailors wore in the 18th century. And she thought, it's the cunning man. It's Cunning Murrell. She watched him stop, stoop, clear the snow away, dig out with a trowel some plant and put it in his basket. And she said, he's the man to help me. And she went back to bed, and sleep did in fact come. Well, the next morning, the Sunday, her parents called up to her and said, come, 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 you must come to the carol service. But Rosie said, no, I do not feel well today, but you should go. I heard the choir practicing last night, and they sing so sweetly. Do not miss it on my account. And so her parents left. And as soon as they left the house, Rosie dressed, put on her boots, put on her coat, and walked through the narrow streets of Leonsey until she came to the cunning man's door. And she knocked upon the door. The door was opened by the cunning man himself, and he ushered her inside to his room. And hanging from the rafters, there were dried herbs and plants, and every flat surface was covered with books. And some of them were proper printed books from London. And others were books that were covered in the spidery writing of the cunning man himself, in thick, dark black ink. Well, Rosie explained how she wanted Frank to fall in love with her again. And she told the cunning man about Elizabeth. And he nodded and he wrote a few things down. Then he reached for a box, and from the box he took out thorns from the dog rose. And he said, this is what you must do. When you go home, cut yourself a heart from some red flannel. The next full moon, put the red flannel on the earth under the light of the moon. Spell out your rival in love's name, and with each letter, thrust one of these thorns into the heart. For she thanked him, gave him a farthing, and made her way back to her home. The next full moon, as it happens, was New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve, Rosie was sat in her bedroom looking out the window, and she watched all the young people going up the hill towards the church, and she saw Frank walking up with Elizabeth, and a single tear flowed down her cheek. She waited an hour before she walked up to the churchyard herself, and she sat next to a grave, and she looked at the cloudy sky and thought, "There is no full moon tonight. I could do nothing but wait." And she sat there an hour, 2 hours, who knows. And she could hear the music and the merriment and the dancing and the laughter from the church hall. And finally, the clouds parted and the moon shone bright on that graveyard. She took out the red flannel heart, placed it on the ground, and she took out the thorns of the dog rose and thrust them into the heart, spelling Elizabeth, E-L-I, all the way to the final letter, H. Now she did that, there was an enormous explosion, an enormous bang, and it frightened her so much she fainted straight away. And the next thing she remembered was being picked up by strong arms. And when she opened her eyes, she was looking into Frank's face. And he said, "Rosie, Rosie, I thought we'd lost you. Oh, Rosie, I love you. I could not bear to lose you." And she saw in his eyes true love indeed. And Frank carried her all the way down to her house, down the hill. And halfway down the hill, she saw over Frank's shoulder a little man come out of a side street, a little man carrying an umbrella with a wicker basket hanging from the handle and wearing a hard glazed tiled hat, the sort that sailors wore in the 18th century. And he saw her, and he nodded to her, and she nodded to him.
Well, strange story indeed, a really strange story. Many thanks indeed for that, Carl. I don't know what to say on that. So how are you going to beat that for next week?
Well, I think I'd best cheer people up a bit with, well, will it cheer people up with the story of the pirate's heart from Fingering Hoe?
The pirate's heart from Fingering Hoe. Okay, we should look forward to that.
Yeah, this story is a combination of there being a pirate's oak and various other pieces of the story were put together by my good friend Jan Williams.
Good stuff. We'll look forward to that. Thank you very much indeed.